This episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Braintree. If you're working on a mobile app and searching for a simple payment solution, check out Braintree. With one simple integration, you can offer your customers every way to pay, period. To learn more and for your first $50,000 in transactions fee-free, go to braintreepayments.com/TNW.
Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey, buddy, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Sand. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. John Bubb. How you doing, John?
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Not much. We're getting ready for a big snowstorm here in New York. Are you getting any of it?
I think Michigan missed it, so.
You're not getting any of it, huh?
No, nothing.
Well, lucky you.
You know what's funny is my sister is here visiting from Nashville, and she had a friend stop by her place, and she sent over a photo of their house, and they have like an inch or two of snow, and everything in Nashville is completely shut down.
Completely
they don't even have
down,
school.
Yeah. Wow. For an inch or two.
There's nobody on the road.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The city has to, I mean, we literally have to be covered in 4 feet of snow for the city to shut down here in New York.
But Nashville, even a dusting of snow is like, oh my God, close schools.
Well, you've seen that meme, right? It says like a snowstorm in the Northeast, and it's like people just driving through the snow.
Yeah, want to see a magic trick? Snow.
Snow. yeah, you know what? I have to tell you, I'm not happy about the snowstorm because it's ruining my Royal Rumble party.
Wah.
Every year I have a party here at the house and, you know, my friends come up and Josh Coleman was supposed to come up and you know what? Now he's not coming up. So my weekend is ruined. Thank you, snowstorm.
Oh, just because one person can't make it? Person.
Yeah. That's it. I'm done. I don't care anymore. Life isn't worth living anymore since I can't have this party.
You big baby.
It's over. A lot happening in technology. We're going to go down the list of things that happened this week. Some big news from Microsoft, IBM, Google News, Skype news for people using Skype. There's actually I'm surprised it took them this long to implement this. We're going to talk all about that. But before we do, we got to talk about our great sponsor, and that's Braintree. Guys, we've been talking about Braintree for how many months now? I can't even tell you. The list goes on and on. And I'm going to tell you again what it is, and I'm going to tell you another great story about it, another success story for Braintree. It is no matter what payment type you want to accept on your application, on your website, on your whatever product you're selling, whatever service you're selling, the problem is you need to implement different lines of code for each thing. So if you want to accept PayPal, it's something else. If you want to accept Apple Pay or Android or whatever, Android Pay, with Braintree, it's literally a couple lines of code, easy to implement. Braintree accepts everything. Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, every major credit card, even Bitcoin. People like Airbnb, Uber, Hotel Tonight, Living Social, all these sites are accepting it. It is super, super easy. Integrated in your apps, as easy as inserting a few lines of code. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at braintreepayments.com/TNW. That's braintreepayments.com/TNW. It is a phenomenal service. Great,
super easy to implement.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, you've done it. You've done it. You've played around with it for a couple of your clients. We have a client. I have a friend that has a bunch of clients. He has this website here. He came to. I don't know if you met him. No, I don't think you met him. He came to one of my meetups and. He just messaged me. He's like, hey, listen, I heard you talk about Braintree. Is it good? I'm like, yeah, it's great. I mean, I've had no complaints. Every time we talk about it, people are using it. And he just put it on his website, and he loves it. You know, it's super easy. BraintreePayments.com.
Awesome.
You could try it out. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself, you know, see how you like it. See how easy it is. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. It literally takes minutes to implement, which is awesome. Braintree code supports Android, iOS, JavaScript. SDK is in 7 different languages, .NET, Java, Perl, PHP, Python, a bunch of, it's great. I mean, they've made it super easy. And it's a PayPal company, guys. BraintreePayments.com/TNW. I want to thank Braintree for supporting TNW, of course, for supporting the GFK Network. Look, I love Braintree happening in the chat room right now. I love Braintree. Man, what do we start off with, John? You want to talk about Microsoft?
Yeah, we can do that. All right. That's a fairly big story this week.
Pretty big. You know why it's a bigger story than I thought it would be? Not because it is a big story, but a lot of misconception over what was said. A lot of confusion over what was said.
Yes.
A lot of blogs picked up things that Paul maybe posted or other people posted, and it got really wacky. So
to be fair, Microsoft isn't necessarily the best at communicating.
They're not the best communicators, no. And this is not only a Microsoft issue. So why don't you go into the story, and then we'll discuss.
So Microsoft announced, I believe it was on Friday, that from now on, newer processors from AMD, Intel, and Qualcomm will require the current version of Windows, Windows 10, in order to get enterprise support. Now, when I first heard about this story, there was a lot of stuff, there was a lot of details that really weren't out there. And so what this means is that Microsoft is not going to support these newer processors unless you're using Windows 10 in more of a corporate enterprise support role. So it's not necessarily that it won't work with Windows 7 or Windows 8. It's just for you to actually get support, official support from Microsoft, you'll need to be running the newest version of Windows, Windows 10.
Yeah. And a lot of people took this as, here's Microsoft once again forcing you to upgrade. They've had all these very aggressive tactics, right? I mean, there are times that I agree with that those people that say that, and there are times that I'm saying, you know what, we have to move forward. We have to change. We have to adapt and grow and do more. I do think it's a little aggressive. I do think it's a little tricky sometimes when it comes to these upgrades where, you know, the pop-up, if you don't, obviously it's your fault if you're not reading it correctly, but, I mean, I even did it once. I said, I want to upgrade later. I don't want to upgrade now. And guess what? It upgraded later. It literally upgraded later.
Yeah, I think part of the problem with the backlash against Microsoft on this is because they have been so aggressive in pushing Windows 10 and that there's a lot of people that are not happy with the way that Microsoft has been pushing Windows 10.
Listen, I'm one of the few people, you know, according to Microsoft, there was only a handful of people, you know, a couple dozen, nothing crazy, but I'm one of the people that woke up one day and I had Windows 10 on my machine and I had done nothing. I had not clicked on anything.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary Jo Foley, another one, and she's not, you know, she's not some mom that's clicking on stuff on a computer.
She
knows what she's doing.
Between the two of us, we know a handful of people that have woken up and had Windows 10 automatically installed.
So I personally do not feel that this here, what we're seeing here, is Microsoft forcing you to upgrade.
I think initially things were a little bit overblown, but I think that was due to the communication.
Yeah. So
that makes sense because it's just one of those things that now that I read it and I actually see the full details of this announcement about it being more for like enterprise support. Because even Tuesday when you were doing What the Tech with Paul, Paul was saying it's not like you won't be able to install Windows 7, which is what it seemed like at first when the story came out. Like, well, you're not going to be able to install Windows 7 at all if you have a newer CPU.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
That's not the case. No. What it is that you are going to have certain things that are not working. It's going to be, what is it? It's the boost, the turbo boost stuff may not, it's not going to work the same way.
Hyper-threading?
What is it?
Hyper-threading?
It's like something to do with the hyper-threading and like the turbo boost that Intel does. The other thing was the energy management, the power management stuff is going to be a little bit different.
That's fine. I leave my PC on 24/7.
There's something to think about here, right? Why is it that Skylake is more compatible with Windows 10? Why?
My initial fear when I heard this story was that if I were to get a new computer with Skylake or Kaby Lake, I wouldn't even be able to install Windows 7.
No, and see, that's not true. No. And listen,
Microsoft had been... Go ahead.
There is more to this, in my opinion. This is just an opinion. I think there's more to this story than what's out there right now.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a shocker, and you have to think about it in Microsoft's key strategic positioning here, right? First of all, Kaby Lake was not on the Intel roadmap. This was integrated afterwards. Kaby Lake, and that's a little strange that it wasn't on the roadmap. Microsoft, it's not in Microsoft's interest to announce this halfway through the rollout for Windows 10. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't something that, in my opinion, I don't think this was a planned thing. I don't think it was Microsoft saying, well, this is what we're going to do. I think this came at a... I think there's going to be more.
The timing was bad for Microsoft.
I don't want to assume anything here, but I think this was a unforeseen event that has happened.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying. It's bad timing for Microsoft because they're already coming off of backlash from being very aggressive in pushing Windows 10, and then the backlash against the announcement of them taking away features from OneDrive, killing off Unlimited, and then going back on that promise of, okay, we'll give Unlimited to if you're a corporate customer, we'll give you Unlimited.
Yeah. I do think that the other thing that was announced here was that, with the upgrades, a lot of small businesses, a lot of, different, more people are now going to start seeing those pop-ups when normally they weren't seeing it for Windows 10.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to ask you, John, I think we are okay to upgrade to Windows 10 on the production machine.
No.
You don't think so?
I'm not willing to take that chance.
Oh, I am. I want to take it. I want to see what happens.
You can take that chance and then spend another 3 days rolling everything back.
Yeah, yeah. I do think there's going to be more to this that comes out. We do know that there were some Skylake issues, even with Windows 10. The Surface Pro 4 and the Surface Book they're plagued with issues, with power management problems, with Wi-Fi issues. So I'm curious if there is an issue with the Intel chips.
It's a good question.
You know? What kind of puts a monkey wrench in that is them also saying that the newer processors like AMD and Qualcomm are also going to...
Yeah, and it's not that they're lumping in just one chip maker.
Oh,
it's all of them, basically.
Yeah, it is. It is on a press release.
It's AMD, Intel, yeah, and Qualcomm.
Listen, I think that we're going to find out more about this. More stuff is going to roll out based on what seen. This isn't
this
as
might
big
not
of
even
a deal.
Be a big story for consumers.
But
this may be really.
Not.
It's mainly enterprise people that have a business.
It's enterprise. They positioned it as enterprise, but the consumer is not. I know that this we do this right. Like you do this, I do
be
this.
People that,
I'm sure there are people in our chat room that do this where we get a computer and then we roll back. Or we build a new computer and we don't put the latest operating system. We are a very, very small group of people that do these things. People are not building PCs to the extent that they were 15 years ago. People are going and buying whatever is on there, and that's what they're using. And they don't complain about it. That's what they use. Windows 8 was the first time that we really saw this backlash, even with Vista. Vista sucked initially. But we didn't get this horrible backlash of people demanding to be rolled down, the consumer.
Yeah.
Windows 8 became a big hoopla because it was so different. I don't think people are buying Windows 10 machines, buying a Dell, buying an HP, buying a whatever, and saying, you know what, screw this. I'm putting Windows 7 on this thing. We are in the minority. We're the vocal minority because we're online and we know what we're doing. But this is not an issue for most people.
I built my own PCs.
With that said, you look on the Mac side. And I gave this as an example on What the Tech. It's interesting how that works because on the Mac side, I have never, ever heard anybody buy a brand new. I'm not talking about, the guy that has very specific, audio drivers that he has that only works with the old version right now. When you go and buy a Mac, consumers are not saying, you know what, screw El Capitan. I want to put Yosemite on this thing. And they're like looking for ways to roll back. That's not really happening on the Mac side. This is a PC.
The market
thing.
Share between Mac and PC, though, is huge. There's a big
it
difference
is big.
Between
it is big,
those
but
two
it's,
markets.
It's, but a lot of it is a mentality also. It's a lot of it is a mentality. I think this whole rolling back thing, it's still that old school PC thing. Listen, I'm one of these people. I haven't put Windows 10 on all my machines, but because I have very specific drivers, very specific needs that I can't do with Windows 10. I have it on my other machines, and I'm going to tell you, I absolutely love it. This is the best operating system I probably used. It's the best version of Windows by far. It's super smooth.
I'm still kind of partial to Windows 7.
Listen, we all are, but I'm gonna give you a weird problem with Windows 7. Okay, I'm gonna give you this weird problem that I've always had on an SSD. I know other people that have this issue too. Some people have it, some people don't. I don't know why it does this. If I delete a file, right? Like, let's say I have like my videos, right, John? Like the videos are building up. I need to delete a bunch. If I delete that file, it doesn't remove the thumbnail. It still keeps it there for about a minute.
Okay.
Isn't that weird? It doesn't matter how many files I'm deleting. I could delete 10 or I could delete one. I could delete a 5 meg file or I could delete a 500 meg file. It always holds the thumbnail there for a little bit. With Windows 10, it doesn't do that. It's been doing that since like Vista. This has been like a known thing since Vista. And they just fixed it.
I don't think I've ever experienced that
issue. Yeah, it's like a weird issue, but like, you know, it's like things like that. You don't have that in Windows 10. Listen, I'm a big fan of it. Skylake, on the other hand, I'm not a big fan of that chipset to begin with. I think I went on a rant a couple months ago and I said, I do not like this chip. I think there are problems with this chip. So I may have stumbled on something a couple months ago.
Yeah.
You know? We'll see what happens with that. But it's a very interesting story. And I think the outcome of this is going to be even more interesting in the coming months when more stuff
definitely.
Comes out. You know what I'm curious?
It's going to be interesting to see how these PCs work with these newer chipsets.
Well, now, you know, I'm going to tell you something. With all the... Apple has not gone to Skylake yet.
No.
So I'm curious...
Apple is kind of slow in updating of their hardware.
And you know what? You know what, though? I'll tell you, Microsoft was the first one to adapt Skylake, to implement Skylake in their PCs, and look at the problems that they've had with it so far. So Apple's approach may be the right way to do this, but I'm curious if Apple implements Skylake or they skip right over it for the next line. That's going to be interesting to see. If I were to predict it, I would say they're skipping right over it. QNX Monkey, Skylake has problems. It's another Intel scam, his opinion. It's barely faster than Ivory Bridge Haswell. I went with Haswell. I went with an older chip because it's a better chip. Way better than Skylake. I think that...
You're probably saving some money.
I actually ended up spending more money because I had to buy the Haswell E. John, why don't we go to this story? There's a list of 25 worst passwords in 2015. This is fascinating considering that we are in the year 2016... And the number one password is still 123456.
We talk about this every year. A list comes out with the top passwords that people have. And this is just hilarious. And we do this sort of as a public service announcement of these are the passwords you should never use.
Yes.
If you're using any of these passwords, you are... not using a secure password.
So let me go down the list here. 123456, number one, unchanged from last year. Password, unchanged from last year. 123456789. QWERTY.
QWERTY.
You know, QWERTY.
Yeah, the top row of a standard keyboard.
123456789. Number seven, football. 1, 2, 3, 4 is number 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Baseball is number 10. 11 is welcome. That's new. Welcome.
Why?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. That's new to the list. ABC, 1, 2, 3. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. 1. What is this one? 1QAZ.
If you look at the two rows diagonal on a standard keyboard. From the 1, the Q, the A, and the Z, and then you have the 2, W, S, X.
Okay, so I have a question. That is complicated, right? Like, that's a complicated combination. Why not do something else if you if you're going to remember that? Why not try another random group of numbers? That's new to the list too. I wonder
but
if there
they
was...
just remember what two rows they have to go down.
Yeah, dragon is another one. I don't know why.
That's still my new password.
Dragon master.
Yes.
Monkey. Let me in. Login princess. Cordy UIOP. So the entire Cordy UIOP. Why? Oh, it's a whole line.
That's the first row of a standard keyboard.
Solo. Password with a zero. Ooh, boy. It's like where's with a Z. And Star Wars, number 25. That's the new one. These are horrible. Horrible.
Well, now I have a list of things to try when I want to break into your account.
Well, you know all my passwords, so. John knows all my passwords. You know what it is? You know how people like take like they write their passwords down? Right, like as like
yeah,
a backup.
Yeah, on a sticky note and then put it on top of their
a
monitor.
Sticky note, put it on top of the monitor, or they have like you know they have like a flash drive with all the passwords. If I die, you are my flash drive.
Yes.
If I die, I told Jess already. I'm like, oh, just call John. If I die, he has all access to all my banking accounts. He has everything, my retirement, my life insurance policy. It's all in John's hands. And he goes, why? I go. That's how I keep him around. If he ever wants to screw me, everybody will know it was him. She goes, that's the worst plan ever. I think you should just write it down on a piece of paper. So John is my flash drive. YOLO Zarian 99. Phenomenal password. What a great password that is. Guys, public service announcement. Just do something other than you know your birthday, your cat's name.
Manager. This is the number one thing that I always say is, the best with as many passwords as I have to have for all this stuff I have with GFQ, I use KeePass.
Okay, but I have a question. If your password for the password manager gets compromised, then everything it can't
not on KeePass.
Oh,
it's unlikely that KeePass will be compromised. Somebody would have to have physical access to your computer or get it from you directly.
Yo yo in the chat room says Beefcake Zarian. There you go. Look at that. Little Beefcake Zarian action there. Horrible passwords, guys. go into a story, John. Pick something.
Oh, that means I actually have to look at it. Then. So this is kind of interesting. IBM buys Ustream to power its new video service division.
Yeah.
We saw a rumor of this, and then hours later it came out as confirmed that IBM bought Ustream for, they think, around $130
million.
$150. Is that confirmed now?
I could confirm it.
You can confirm it. Okay.
I don't know
which
who
is a lot less than what Amazon bought Twitch for.
Yeah, $150 million.
Twitch for what? Some $900 million?
Yeah, but Twitch, you know, Twitch has a tremendous, tremendous user base. You know, Ustream was happening a couple of years ago, but they've really fell down. I think all these CDNs, unless you're doing gaming, you're really not capturing the eyeballs that you did years ago.
I think the whole Twitch thing in gaming is a fluke.
I don't think it's a fluke. I think it's a major market. I think this is huge. The fact that this is what people want to do when they're live streaming. You know, the days of Stick'em, that's what brought this upon us. You know, the kids going on there and just streaming and talking.
Oh, yeah.
And now this is the next step. You're playing games and you're talking.
So IBM is planning to basically use Ustream as their corporate cloud video service division for live and on-demand video with consistent delivery across global industries. So this will be interesting to see what they do with Ustream now. Is this something that they're going to just cut off completely from consumers and become completely enterprise-based?
Well,
or are they going to leave it mostly as is, like Amazon did with Twitch?
Well, I think they said for now nothing is going to change. Nobody's going to see any changes. They're keeping their employees. But in a year from now, I don't know. I don't know what the fate of Ustream is. Do they? I mean, they're not making any money from me. I'm a content partner. They make nothing from me. I'm useless to them. You know, their money is in major, major brands, white labeled streams.
Yeah, because earlier last year they did some events for NASA.
Yeah, so I mean,
which is cool.
It is cool. That's where their money is, really. But they're not going to. IBM has zero interest in you know my podcast being live on Ustream. So
sad.
I mean, they obviously bought it for the technology. They bought it for the infrastructure more than anything else. So that's where the value is in Ustream. I know Ustream has a lot of, I think they're $60 million in debt from what I read. Plus they have a partner, plus they have, you know, lenders. So they didn't really make off.
Which is sad, because Ustream is one of the better video streaming services out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of them out there, but Ustream is a mature platform compared to a lot of these that are out there today.
Yeah, it's the last of them, right? Ustream, Stick'Em, Justin TV were the three, and Ustream is the only one left from that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, different times, man. Different times. Things have changed. Google paid Apple $1 billion to be the default search in iOS. $1 billion. That's how much Google paid
Apple in
2014.
Yeah, that's how much they paid to Apple in 2014. This is according to transcripts obtained by Bloomberg in a court case.
Yeah.
But apparently these transcripts have now gone missing quite quickly after this story broke.
They vanished without a trace. Those were the words that they used. But $1 billion. You know, there is a lot of value in Google still being the search, the default search engine, you know? I think people do switch over, regardless if it was Bing or whatever. But I think this was a smart move on Google's behalf to be the default search engine.
And you know what's funny is we say that it was $1 billion. To me and you, that's like a crap ton of money. But to Google and Apple, that's like, oh, here's $100,000. You know, that's $1 billion to them is the equivalent of $100,000.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's chump
billion
change.
Bucks. Here's $1 billion. I mean, these are two companies with a lot of money in the bank. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Skype story here, okay?
Yeah.
So there has been and you would understand this a little bit more. There's like a weird thing in Skype where if you connect to someone, you could actually get their IP.
Yeah, as long as you know what their Skype name is.
Yeah, so how does that work?
I think there are services out there where you can take the person's username, plug it in, and it'll tell you what the IP is. It'll somehow resolve the username using the Skype servers.
Yeah, so for people who don't understand why that's not good, explain to them what could happen.
Well, it's very easy for somebody who doesn't like you to find your IP address and then use that IP address to initiate a distributed denial of service attack against you, or DDoS.
Yeah. DDoS.
Or DOS.
Yeah.
Or doxing, however you want to call it. Whatever the kids are saying these days.
So,
And from there, they can completely kill your internet.
But why? You know what's fascinating? Why did they have that in there? Like, what was the benefit of?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, what?
That's what I don't understand. I'm like, okay, so now it's being turned on by default. I'm like, shouldn't that have been turned on by default to begin with?
Yeah. So Skype is now going to hide the IP address to protect it. It's a Skype update. It just came out. So if you use Skype, you could update it. I don't understand why they allowed that to be there by default. I don't know, because I've seen this happen to podcasts where, you know, they're live on the air and someone
knows gamers.
Skype and they shut it. I mean, they pretty much kill their entire feed. So
it's good that they're finally making this a default option to on.
Yeah. So, John, I want to talk to you for a minute. Did you buy a new phone?
I did not.
Are you getting a new phone?
Probably not.
Okay, so you're going to wait now for the next iPhone.
Well, it's almost February.
Yeah, so I have a friend, he's in the same position as you, that he wants to get a new phone. He has an iPhone 5S, and he went to go buy a new phone, and he realized that there's a new one that's going to come out, and he's going to hate himself if he buys an iPhone 6S, and the new one is way better. So mm-hmm. is that the situation you're in right now?
Gosh, it's just it's one of those things where, all right, so in practically 8 months from now, we'll have a new iPhone. So it's already been about 4 months since we got the new iPhone. So I could just wait another few months, I guess. I mean, does it make sense to spend, you know, $850 right now on a new phone and in eight months have the new one come out?
No, it's not. The other thing, are you looking at anything else other than the iPhone?
You know, see, this is the thing that's weird, is that I have looked at other stuff, but there just isn't anything Android-related that excites me. Yes, there's like the Samsung Galaxy S6 and the Notes, but there's been problems with those lately, and there's just little things here and there with Android that I just don't find pleasing compared to the iPhone as far as like the apps go, being completely polished and whatnot. And I was looking at like maybe a OnePlus phone, but I'm on Verizon and Verizon doesn't support OnePlus.
They do not support the OnePlus. I have a OnePlus and I have to tell you, it was a good phone, and it was a really good phone for when it came out, but it got really old quick. You know what I mean? Like the camera is so bad on the thing, where when I got my Samsung S6, I was like, oh my God, this is horrible.
But it's like, it's not even something I could consider because I don't want to leave Verizon.
Yeah.
Just to get a phone.
Yeah. So I don't know.
And it's not like I can really consider a Windows phone because Verizon really doesn't support Windows phone either.
Have you thought about going to AT&T?
I've thought about it.
Because I'm in that position right now where I may go over to AT&T.
But there's a lot of other moving parts to consider for that.
Yeah. It's so weird, right? Like, still, that's like a big jump for most people.
Yeah.
Like, you would think that going over, like, you see all these commercials for T-Mobile and Sprint. Sprint's offering, like, the best rates that I've seen. But it's still a hurdle to go over to another service.
Oh, yeah. It's still, and especially if you have, like, a family plan.
Yeah.
It's not just you moving your service over. It's you and how many other family members you have on your plan.
Yeah.
Like if you have three other people besides you on a family plan, that's a lot of moving parts. And maybe you're not all on the same update cycle.
That's possible too, yeah.
You know, so let's say, you know, one person just got a new phone and you want to move over to AT&T, well then you got to buy another phone.
Yeah. It's a major problem. So John, before we wrap up, I want to give a little shout out here to our friend Justin Robert Young. This is his game. It's called The Contender.
Cool.
The Contender is a social card game inspired by like pretty much presidential debates. So what you do, you draw cards, you have the topic, and then you have like lines, and you got to work it in there. And one person is the moderator, and two people are debating each other. And the winner is determined by the moderator and who presented the best case. So I just got The Contender, and I'm going to probably play with my family tonight. So guys, check out The Contender, thecontender.us. It's on Amazon. I literally got this thing in exactly 24 hours. I ordered it next day shipping, got it right to my door. So I can't wait to play this thing.
He's actually going to be in Iowa next week.
Who, Justin?
Yes.
For what?
For the caucus.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Why? Oh,
he's doing this whole thing to promote The Contender in Iowa.
Oh, that's awesome.
During the caucus.
That's awesome. I would like a way to play it online. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we could all get like a group going, like I wonder if you could like get like a group of friends and play it online somehow. Because I was thinking that like it would be cool to play that in like the Skype in the Hangout group, you know? I would love to do that. The Contender, guys, check it out. It is help support a friend. I'm gonna play that tonight. All right, guys.
Oh, that reminds me, I gotta do something.
Listen, if you're on the if you're in the Northeast, if you're in the Mid Atlantic area, stay safe. It's gonna be horrible weather this weekend. DC's expected like 20 inches of snow, maybe more. New York is getting anywhere from 8 to 16 inches of snow. It's gonna be bad. It's gonna be scary out there, spooky even. So I suggest just staying in, getting a bunch of booze, and you know, getting drunk for the weekend and waking up on Monday and going to work and hating everything about it. Follow me on Twitter at Andrew Zarin. You can follow John at Suncast. Guys, if you want to help us out, use our Amazon link, gfq.co/Amazon. bookmark it. Whenever you buy something, we get a small little credit from the sale. Somebody bought a canoe last year, a $3,000 canoe. I was blown away. Whoever you are, I love you so much, because it was nice chunk of money that came from that. So whenever you buy something, bookmark it. Just put it in your in Chrome, like on the top of your favorites, and just every time you go to Amazon, just click on it. Easy breezy. There's no hassle. It just goes to Amazon, and we get a credit from there. Also, you want to help us out? You want to tip us? You could do so by going to patreon.com/whatthetech. Fund us a quarter, a nickel, a dime, whatever you want to fund us. And in return, you get access to our bonus show. We record it live each and every week following What the Tech. And subscribe to the podcast, guys. Thanks again. Bye-bye for now.